All right. Thank you. Say again? It's interesting in that motorhome because neither one of us can hear. And what's dangerous about that is we'll answer thinking we did. We're learning not to do that. You might agree to no telling what. Now, I got a hearing problem. The VA takes good care of me. And I've been around machine guns and motorcycles and hand grenades and other things for years and years. And I understand my hearing loss, and the VA understands it. But when I married her, she didn't have a hearing loss. I don't know what happened to her. Amen. I didn't hear that. All right. I got something I want to read to you. This is, we're talking about politics, and some preachers feel a need to get into politics when they get in the pulpit, so I'm going to take a stab at it. And here you go. A preacher went to his church office on Monday morning and discovered a dead mule in the churchyard. Amen. He called the police. And since there didn't appear to be any foul play, the police referred the preacher to the health department. And they said, since there's no health threat, that he should call the sanitation department. And this is a government in action. The manager said he could not pick up the mule without authorization from the mayor. And, of course, the preacher was not too eager to call the mayor. They had butted heads previously. He had a bad temper, was hard to deal with, but the preacher called him anyway, and the mayor did not disappoint. He said, he immediately began to rant and rave at the pastor and finally said, "Why did you call me anyway? Isn't it your job to bury the dead?" The preacher paused for a moment and asked the Lord to direct his response. He was led to say this, "Yes, mayor, it is my job to bury the dead, but I always like to notify the next of kin first." That's pretty good. That went pretty good. You want another one? No. Take your Bible tonight. Go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. And let's see. I don't want to read the whole chapter, so we'll start, I think, somewhere here. So they lost this battle. Let me see. I did put down, I think I want to start in verse 10. I better, rather than try to fill you in and then say something wrong. Verse 10, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have even put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you." God is not happy. They did some things very seriously wrong. Verse 13, "Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." In the moment, God takes sin seriously. More seriously than his people do sometime, then and now. Verse 14, "In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the households which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." Verse 16, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribes of Judah were taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took with the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. All that to get to this. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Verse 21. Now watch the progression. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. I want to preach on this thought tonight. One thing leads to another. Amen. And that's what you see there. You see that first he saw there in verse 21. Sin often starts with looking at something we shouldn't. The eye gate is not just the window to the soul. It's the window to the brain. And what we look at gets the wheels turning. It says, then he saw, and then I coveted. Covetousness is a result of discontentment. He wasn't happy with what he had. They were on the winning side. They'd been winning battle after battle. And God was with them because they had kept the covenant. They were doing what they were told. And somewhere along the way, this guy, Achan, he wasn't content. Because the word is very carefully used that he coveted. It says in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Therefore, covetousness is ungodly. And then it says he took. What started with a look led to action. Amen. The eyes, the brain, and the hands are connected. What starts here goes to here. Next thing you know, here it is, right there. And that's not all. I mean, it goes to the feet, too. But we need to be very careful about what we look at, what we think about, because it'll lead to what we touch. And then it says he hid it, which means he knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong. Amen. I don't know. He didn't have a still, small voice telling him it was wrong, but you do. You better learn to heed it. You better learn to heed it. You know what's wrong with Christians these days? They got so much, the volume of junk in their life. And it's not always evil stuff. It could just be activity. It's so loud that they can't hear the still, small voice of God. It took me a long time to learn that. Amen. And to be able to acknowledge, what a wonderful thing it is. Amen. To be sensitive to the voice of God. Amen. Achan's sin, and he just confessed it. Of course, God revealed it. It cost him dearly. Look at verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedges of gold. That's all the stuff he took that he shouldn't have. And his sons and his daughters. You just saw a man stand up there with two sons and a precious little daughter. Now, that I know that couple. And I wouldn't mess with them three kids for $1 trillion. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's invaluable. Achan's sin resulted, watch what happens, his sons, his daughter, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor, verse 25, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stoned him. Achan paid the price. But look what the verse says, it goes on, and burned them with fire, after they stoned them with stones. Who's the them? Sons and daughters. You make decisions that have unbelievable consequences for your family, for the innocents sometimes. Doesn't mention his wife, but if she was around, guarantee she got stoned too. What started with a look led to horrible consequences. Amen? Achan knew better. He knew better, but, and we get guilty of this too. Sometimes we think we're going to be, maybe Achan thought I'll be the exception. Nobody saw that. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Praise the Lord for that. Beholding the evil and the good. He wasn't the exception. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you won't be either. You won't be either. We get in trouble when we think. Preacher preaches. Spirit of God bears witness to something. I hope you read your Bible. And still we kind of disregard it. And we disregard it because the flesh that's lusting against the Spirit is speaking louder than the Spirit. That's the secret. See, God speaks in a still small voice, and that tells the flesh, all I can do is outshout him. Amen. Your flesh, your old man, your carnal nature is the devil's greatest ally. I believe the devil gets blamed for stuff he doesn't even know about. He don't even know. Amen. Because our flesh wants to do what it wants to do, regardless of what the Bible said. Numbers 32, I'll read you a verse in verse 23, a familiar verse says, but if you will not do so, and he had laid out a battle plan for him, for all of Israel, or the three tribes that wanted to stay back. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. Moses didn't say against me, not against your brethren. He said, it's a wake-up call, and it's in there to remind us that, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. You're a child of God tonight? Amen. When you go against the covenant, you're going against him. He said, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. One thing leads to another. That's a great springboard in the message tonight, which we're not going to be in Joshua anymore. I looked at it. I thought about it. And basically, I'm kind of giving my testimony in a way. And I'm going to illustrate it with seven H's. Seven H's. You are about, be prepared to be impressed with my homiletical skills. I got this going down the road one day. And so one thing leads to another. I need somebody that can get a hold of God. Brother, Colonel, so glad you can make it. I need you right now, Colonel. I know you won't let me down. Please pray for the message tonight. Amen. Thank you. All right. So one thing leads to another. Let's start with H number one. Handlebars. Handlebars. Amen. In the context of the first point, it's gonna represent freedom. Now I say that I'm a motorcycle guy. Amen. I just took a 7,000 mile
motorcycle ride in June to the West Coast and to the Washington and across the mountains and everything. I had a couple weeks. That's what I needed to do. Somebody said, 73 years old. That's hard to believe you could do that. Everybody needs to have something. Amen. I tried golf once. That was enough. Amen. I tried fishing. Fish laugh at me. The people on either side I was fishing with, they're catching fish. I got a better rod and reel. I read a book. I know how fish think. I mean, I understand they're out there. They're looking toward the shore. You cast out in the middle of the lake. They are not out in the middle of the lake. Their food, their natural food is not out. It's falling off the trees. They're looking. I understand all that. And I throw the line out there, and I can't catch a fish to save my life. I was there one time out by a lake, and I could hear this noise. Ho, 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 ho. And I thought, what that is? There's a bear. And I realized what it was. Fish were laughing. They're laughing. They're looking at my $8 Rapella going, that idiot thinks we're going to, no way. Fishing didn't work. Everybody needs something to do. Amen. To get their mind off of everything else. Amen. Hunting is out of the picture for me for reasons that I won't go into. Handlebars represents freedom for me. I grew up in the 60s. Yeah, I ain't the only one in here either. Amen. And when I was growing up, when I was young, guys were interested in guns. I'm going to need a little more than that. Amen. That nod in your head, I can't hear the stones rolling around. Amen. Guys were interested in guns, not games. Not teenage boys want to play games. No, we wanted to shoot guns when I was a kid. Amen. And young men dreamed of getting wheels. When I turned 16, I already had a car picked out. I got my license on my 16th birthday, had a car by the end of the week, and was showing out to some friends, and 5 days later, I ran a stop sign and got in an accident, and it didn't total the car, but it sure embarrassed me in that junior year in high school. Boys dreamed of wheels, but they weren't on skateboards. Amen? Muscle cars. Man. I had a friend that had a Tesla. A guy at our church had a Tesla. We were talking about him earlier. Now you know what I'm talking about. Tesla. You ought to drive a Tesla. That's your business. I mean, I could care less. I'm an over-the-road guy. I wouldn't drive a car with a battery that could run out. Amen. If you're going back and forth to work, okay. Maybe they're okay. I don't know. But this guy had one. He said, I never rode in a Tesla. He says, he gave me a ride home, 4 miles. And I said, yeah, I'm riding a Tesla. It had a TV screen in it. It had a bigger screen. They have a big screen on the dash. That seemed like that should be against the law. Amen. And but anyway, it was a nice car. I'm not against Teslas. But this guy, you know, he said this to me. He stopped at a stop sign. He said, you want me to floor it? And I said, sure. He said, you have never ridden in anything in your life as fast as this car. That's what he said. So he hit it, and it was peppy. I mean, that electric motor, meow, took off. And we got down the road, and he looked at me, and I said, you never rode in a 426 Hemi, have you? I mean, when I was a kid, man, the 454 Chevys and the 427s and the Shelby Cobras, that's muscle cars. Amen. My dream as a kid was to get a Corvette someday. That was an American sports car, and I've had a couple. Amen. My main thing, though, even from a young man, is I wanted a Harley. Harley Davidsons and Corvettes were American made. And that was just what a young guy dreamed. And I wanted to get a Harley in high school. And, of course, my mother, my dear Irish mother, said, no way my son's going to ride a motorcycle. Amen. And she had the control. I was living at her house, mom and dad. And but I got tired of being told no, and so I got tired of being told what to do, and I fixed them. I joined the Army. But think about that for a minute. For the next 3 years, that's all they did was tell me what to do. Rebellion will make a fool out of you. Are you listening, young people? Rebellion will make a fool out of you. Amen. After 3 years in the Army, and I was ready to be free. I made up my mind when I got out, nobody was going to tell me what time to go to bed. Nobody's going to tell me what time to get up. Nobody was going to make me cut my hair or shave my beard. I was 21 years old, and I'm free to do whatever I wanted. Didn't take long for reality to set in. And when reality set in, staying up late and sleeping late, and those were out. Because working for a living came in. Amen. Let me say this. It wasn't just lost kids from the 60s that thought like that or thought, I'm 18 now, I can do whatever I want. I've seen that be the downfall for Christian kids raised in church. We had somebody come up to our boy when he turned 18. So what are you going to do now, Pete, now that you're 18 and you don't have to listen to your mom and dad anymore? I wish I could have got him to tell me who said that to him. I'd have had a pretty stern talking to him. You don't find that in the Bible anywhere. Her and I were the two best friends that boy ever had till that seed of rebellion got planted in his head. And he got out the same way I got out. He joined the Army, and I'm glad. He became a paratrooper, spent 6 years with the 82nd Airborne. But them three tours in Iraq didn't work out so well for him. Amen. I'm glad he finished. I'm glad he got out. But rebellion, I'll say it again, rebellion will make a fool out of you. Amen. I've watched good Christian kids in my 30 years in the ministry destroy their testimonies. Testimonies that take years to build and seconds to lose. Amen. Because they're going to do what they want to do. And they try that for a while, and then reality sets in. What's the reality? The Bible's right. The preacher was right. Mom and dad were right. The advice they gave, the rules they had were to help you, but you're so smart. Better be careful. Bible says this, Luke 15, I'll read you a verse. Well, you better turn to it. Luke 15, it says there, verse 17, talking about the younger son. We call him the prodigal son. Bible just calls him the younger son. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Bible says he came to himself. What does that mean? He came to his senses. He realized that his father was right. And he was wrong. And he was suffering the consequences of his decision. And we learn by our mistakes. And he got it right. He got it straightened out. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't have to wait till you've wasted years of your life like he did, like I did. You don't have to reek of the stench of the devil's hog pen before you come to yourself. Amen. Remember, one thing leads to another. Freedom is great. Handlebars, the motorcycle, getting out on the road. That, to me, represented freedom. But you need to be reminded that rebellion equals bondage. It's not freedom at all. So it started out instantly enough, and I still ride. I mean, there was a gap, pretty good gap, where the Lord showed me what was really important in life, thankfully. But what started out innocently enough, coming out of the military and getting a job in a Harley shop and learning to be a mechanic, things like that. Well, you know, I used some of my military skills. Amen. I didn't learn an occupation. What I learned to do was fight. I was an infantryman. And I learned not to be afraid of anything. That's not a healthy way to live. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. So anyway, I started out, and the handlebar part was good, but it led to bad habits. And it said there in Luke 15, verse 13, when he went to his father about getting his inheritance, he said, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That didn't mean he was a paid activator protesting for BLM. Does that stand for Bureau of Land Management? I saw that on a sign out west the other day. Amen. A riotous in the context means luxurious, wanton, or licentious. That's a big word. Infestive indulgences. We don't have enough character to be indulged in festive indulgences. or whatever. We just call it partying. That's what he did. He blew his living on partying. Amen. And some of you could agree that some of you have no idea, so take our word for it. When the flesh reminds you of the good old days, it never reminds you of being sick as a dog. How many remember the expression, driving the porcelain bus? Driving the porcelain bus. What's that mean, Brother Spurgeon? That's when you're puking your guts out in a toilet with your hands around the ring of the toilet. That's called driving the porcelain. See, you heard it here first. Now, see, are you glad I came to church tonight? Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I'll tell you right now. There ain't nothing more grotesque than see a pretty girl puking her guts out in a toilet with vomit in her hair. Amen. That's the good old days, but those are the part of it the flesh won't remind you of. Let me tell you something. Freedom that you want, that freedom to do whatever you want, you'll end up developing some bad habits. That freedom led me to doing things I shouldn't have done, like drugs. I was raised better than that. Amen. I'm not happy to admit, and I'm not going to go into no details, but I remember telling a friend of mine one time, he was having a real hard time with drugs, and I was too, but I didn't admit it. I said, why do you think they call it dope, you dope? I should have taken my own advice a little bit sooner than I did, but we're in Bismarck, North Dakota, and everybody started this CBD oil and gummies, and I'm not going to go there too much because I don't know what's going on. I've noticed that churches that I go to, people are playing around with that stuff. You do what you can do before God. I don't recommend it. So we needed some vitamin supplements. We're in Bismarck, North Dakota. And there's one health food store in the whole city. The capital of North Dakota is a little bit bigger than Martinville, but not that much. Okay, about like Fulton. And we find this store, and I'm going to take her there, and she's going to go in. She knows what to get. I'm going to sit in a car until I seen the big sign on the door, a window, and it said, we have CBD products. And I said, I'm going in. And she knew. So she goes in, and she goes and finds whatever she is looking for, vitamin D, well, who knows. And I said to the lady, I said, yeah, you guys sell CBD stuff here. I can't remember if it was gummies or oil or whatever. And they go, oh, yes, sir, it's right over here. I said, no, I don't want to buy any. I just want to ask you a question. I said, so tell me about it. Tell me what it does. And she goes, well, it calms you. And it makes you relax. I said, so it's just like smoking regular weed, right? And she knew then I was not on board. And everything got tense in there. And my wife ushered me out. So you want to tell me it's okay to, really, really? It's just like, it's drugs. Amen. So now I probably, did we take the offering? We should have taken the offering first before I said all that. Amen. The handlebars, what started out good, freedom, do what I want to do, it led to developing some bad habits, like drinking, like driving under the influence. Amen. I bought I had to get that Harley, got my first Harley not long after getting out of the military, and a brand new one, 1975. And 6 weeks, I laid that thing down, running from the cops, blind drunk, 3 o'clock in the morning, 85 miles an hour, way out in the country. Laid that thing down, misjudged something, and I didn't even get hurt because I was very lubricated. Amen. I got off that motorcycle like I got out of an airplane. I did a parachute landing fall and bent all the right things, and I didn't get hurt. But I'll tell you what, I totaled that motorcycle. Amen. That's a dumb thing. That was a bad habit. Drugs and liquor. Listen, make sure the same thing doesn't happen to you in some way, shape, or form. Say, well, I don't plan on drinking. I don't plan on doing drugs. There's other dumb things. Let me just put it like this before I move on. Just because you can do something doesn't make it the right thing to do. Doesn't make it smart. Amen. You need to hear that because I wish somebody would have made it clearer to me. Amen. Handlebars were fine, but they led to bad habits. Are you following? Freedom to do what I wanted caused me to make some bad choices. It will you too. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, in a whole, maybe a whole different context, but you know what I'm talking about. All right, so we're not doing that good, but we're moving on here. Bad habits Are you impressed yet? Watch this. Led to hoodlums. Handlebars, habits, bad. Hoodlums. What are you talking about? Those bad habits that I developed led me to hanging around with the bad crowd. I've done juvenile detention work for years. I've heard mothers say, oh, he's a good boy, or my little Susie is a good girl. They just got in with the wrong crowd. What if Jeffrey Dahmer's mother said that? You know, he was a good boy, he started eating his neighbors. I don't know what happened. They just got in with the wrong crowd. And we don't buy that as an excuse, but if I'm honest with you, that is what happens oftentimes. You hang around the wrong crowd, you'll be influenced by them. You'll be affected by them. Peer pressure is real. Amen. And it's not a kid thing. It's a human thing. And I'll give you a verse. It says, Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. When I was with the bike gangs, I buried 41 of my own guys. Amen. Last thing I said to every one of them is, I'll see you in hell, brother. That was just my years in the club. There's over 300 names on a wall somewhere in Dayton, Ohio. 41 of them people I knew personally. I'll see you in hell, brother. Amen. I hung around the wrong crowd. I became the wrong crowd. So let me just throw it out here like this for you. If you hang around with rebels, you'll become rebellious. That's right. Amen. That ain't rocket science, and it's not cool. Rebellion's not cool. Amen? We glamorize it, but 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23 says, but rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's not cool. It's of the devil. And then it says, stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. I heard a guy say he was proud of being stubborn. I said, that's like double jeopardy, isn't it? You're really an idiot. Amen? Pride and stubbornness both are wicked. And yeah, it's human nature. We're supposed to fight that human nature. If you're a child of God, I'm trying to help you tonight. If you hang around troublemakers, well, you're going to find trouble. You're going to have trouble. Like I say, this ain't real. One thing leads to another. So there's a guy, I'm in Panama City, and the preacher there telling me about a guy that was in the county for murder, and he could get me in to see him. And I wanted to go win this guy to Jesus Christ. And the chaplain, and my pastor friend was a chaplain, and he got me in there with this guy. And I am in a room with this guy that murdered two people, and he's been sentenced to death, and he hasn't been moved over to Sanford Penitentiary, Sanford, Florida prison yet, Florida State Prison. And I had a chance to get in there and talk to him, and I want to win this guy to the Lord. And I got, his name was Buck Gorby. And I can't remember what his first name was, but when he told me, I understood why they called him Buck. And I got in there and I talked to him, and I prayed about it. And I just got to be honest with you, I was disappointed to find out he was already saved. This guy that murdered two people, that's been sentenced to death, he's going to death row. And he already was saved. I said, tell me about it. He's from Kentucky. When he was 13 or 14 years old, his mom and dad, they used to go to a Baptist church. He responded to an invitation and he got saved. I'm asking him, what do you trust? And he recited it well. I said, Buck, how'd you end up like this? What happened? Well, I went up to visit an aunt. My mom and I went up to visit her sister in Columbus, Ohio. Columbus is a big city. Amen? Big cities are often problematic. Amen. He had two cousins. Those cousins, they were not Christians. They didn't go to church. They were wild. Come on, Buck. And they went out on a Friday night together, and they had a bottle of liquor. This kid never touched liquor in his life. He's like 17 by now. He's drinking, didn't take very long. He's drunk, didn't take very long. He's sick. He's puking in the back of the car. The two cousins stopped at a bar. They were over 18. They stopped at a bar. They got in an argument. They went out to the car, got a shotgun out of the trunk, and went back in, threatened the bar owner, and robbed the place. got back in the car and left, and Buck is in the back seat of the car, and he doesn't know anything about it. They get him in the house. He's at his aunt's house sleeping off a hangover. And the next morning, real early, his cousins come and wake him up and say, wake up, we got to go. And somebody recognized him, and the cops are on their way. And they got him, and they all, the three of them, went on a run, and they didn't go on the run very long. He's 17 years old. He turned 18 in Mansfield Correctional Facility. And he turned 19 in Mansfield Correctional, 20, 21. And this kid that got saved in a little church, but he got around his cousins, amen, got around the wrong, you'll be affected by who you hang around. Amen. And one thing led to another. He never got back in church. Now he's got a record. He learned things in prison. He wished he didn't. I'm catching about 30 years later, and he was doing yard work for a living, and he got asked to do some yard work. And these guys ended up, two guys in this house, rich people, ended up being homosexuals and tried to take advantage of them. And the way he told it to me when I went and visited him on death row at the prison was that he's fighting for his life. I don't know what details are right. I don't know if he... I know this. I said, Buck, tell me, if you could say something to other people right now, what would you say? He said, I would tell people to be very, very careful about the company they keep. Very careful about the people you hang around. We're talking about one thing leads to another. It was innocent. It started innocent enough, just like my world. It started innocent enough. I never dreamed I'd end up where I end up. Thank God Jesus found me. Amen. Bible says in Proverbs 1, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. A few verses later it says, son, walk not with them. Walk not thou with them in the way. Refrain thy foot from their path. I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful. One thing leads to another. Handlebars, freedom. It was all right in and of itself, but it put me in a place where I developed some bad habits. Ended up running with a bad crowd, hanging around hoodlums. Well, that led to handcuffs. Started getting in trouble. Mark chapter 5, verse 4 says, because a maniac Gadara, because they had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the maniac Gadara was no stranger to handcuffs. Bible says there that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, neither could any man tame him. And I wonder about the path that took him to wherever he started with a mother and a father. And now we find him in Mark chapter 5 living in a graveyard, living in the tombs, amen, sleeping in a grave. I wondered about what got him there, amen. I know what got him out of that mess, though. When he saw Jesus, he ran, verse 5, and worshiped him. And in verse 19, he asked Jesus, when Jesus was leaving, and he asked him if he could go with him after he cast the devil out of him. And Jesus said, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. He said, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and have that compassion on thee. And the maniac Gadara, there was a time where he had a home. There was a time when he had friends. And the Lord wanted to send him back to his friends to tell him that what he did for him, he could do for them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Amen. I don't know what got this guy to where we find him, but I know what got him out. Same thing got me out. But I'm here to tell you tonight, one thing leads to another. You better be careful. For me, handlebars led to bad habits. Amen. And bad habits led to hoodlums. Amen. To not just hanging around them, to becoming one. Wrong crowd led to doing the wrong things, which led to getting in trouble with the law, which led to handcuffs. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, just like Achan wasn't the exception and I wasn't the exception, you're playing around with the wrong things, you're not going to be the exception either. Maybe that's why the Lord had me preach this tonight. Who's our Navy guy in here? You? There's a Navy expression I like. I have a Navy chief pastor. And there's a Navy expression I like. It's a shot across the bow. I like that. In the infantry, we didn't do warning shots. The Navy does. Amen? this is a warning shot tonight. This may be a wake-up call for somebody in here that's dabbling with something. You're not going to be the exception, because the Bible says in Galatians 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the Lord cares about you enough that he's sending out this warning. Achan saw, then coveted, then took, and then hid the accursed thing. As you saw in the verses, God took very, very seriously. God takes sin and his children that know better. He's a merciful, patient, long-suffering, thank God. He takes sin in the lives of his children very seriously. Seriously enough to give us chance after chance after chance. But I tell you, the chances run out. And they did for Achan. And I just hope they don't for anybody in here. One thing leads to another. Handcuffs led, you're going to like this, led to the hoosegow. How many know what that is? We got anybody that knows that term? Most people don't know. Amen. Well, the colonel, who is an MP, he knows what the hoosegow is. There's another. Some people call it the Gray Bar Hotel. Amen. Or the slammer. Or the clink. Amen. What it is the jailhouse. That was common when I said that to somebody, and they had no idea what the hoosegow was. But I'm looking around in this crowd. Some of you, we're all in the same generation. I knew you and know. Amen. You know, the hoosegow. Now, one thing led to another, and handlebars led to the habits that led to the hoodlums, which led to the handcuffs, which led to the hoosegow. And the good thing about the hoosegow is that's where I learned how much trouble I was really in. And I didn't learn it from the magistrate. I didn't learn it from the magistrate. I didn't learn it from a federal prosecutor. I learned it from the Bible. Because I ended up in a church service. In Revelation 21, verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. You doing okay so far? And all liars. Bingo. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Seen a bumper sticker on a car, it said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Once is enough. That second death, I'm not going to have any part of it. If you're saved, you won't either. Amen. That's why I found out that, yeah, like my grandma told me as a kid, hell's real. I chose to forget that detail. Amen. But whose God is where I found out that I had bigger problems in prison. And that's what it took for me to sit down and shut up, sober up. My tract says he lived life in the fast lane. And the fast lane will keep you so busy, you never come to the reality that there's an eternity. And that's what it took for me. I thank God. I witness the policeman all the time, and I'd say, thank you for what you do. I can get a cop to take a track by saying, God used people in your profession to put me where he could get my attention. And when I say it, I'm sincere. I'll say, I know what kind of idiots you guys deal with because I used to be one, and I appreciate it. Let me give you something to read and a thank you. Amen. I went into a donut shop one time, and a policeman was sitting at the counter. Columbus, Georgia, I'm not lying. And he's sitting at the, I saw the car, and I went into the donut shop. I'm going to get this cop. And he is sitting at the counter mid-bite with a donut. He's getting ready. And I went, excuse me, sir. And he's like, that's a dangerous time. You don't interrupt the policeman with a donut. But I told him I appreciated him. He wanted to buy me a donut. I said, no, my wife would find out, and I can't eat donuts. So the hoosegow. Handcuffs led to the hoosegow. I had bigger problems in prison. Are you saved tonight? You don't have this problem anymore. The Bible said, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I'm not worried about that. Right. Now, if you're in here and you're not saved, you should be. Right. Amen. And say, well, I'm saved. Well, you know somebody that isn't. And you need to let them know what's ahead.
Well, you can.
The who's gal led to him.
Amen.
I mean him. Amen. How much trouble I was in wasn't the only thing I learned. You know what else I learned? I learned that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, I heard that as a kid. Everybody heard that most famous verse there is, and it may be the most powerful. I have no problem. John 3:16. But I heard it in a different way. I heard it for real. And although, indeed, the Bible says in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, and I'd seen a lot of death. The verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I learned that in jail. I went to Sunday school as a kid. I don't remember any of that. Not in the 60s. That Methodist preacher that we had when I was a kid could not compete with the Beatles in Woodstock and the Grateful Dead. My Bible teacher, the day Jerry Garcia died at Bible school, he said, I wonder if Jerry Garcia is grateful to be dead today, because he was in hell. Amen, but I heard it. But it took all these things. One thing led to another. Thank God again for a praying mother, because in the who's guy, I found out about him. I know you're impressed with this, especially you, you know, being a preacher and everything with my homiletical skills. He, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he leads to? Heaven.
Amen.
On November 30th, 1990, I put my faith and trust in him. Bible says in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever done that? Amen. Bible says shall be saved, period. That puts your name in the book of life.
Amen.
Whosoever was not found, my name's in the book of life. Is yours? It ain't because I cleaned up. Doesn't have anything to do with a haircut and a tie. Doesn't have anything to do with going straight. Doesn't have anything to do with completing a program. I didn't go to a program. I don't have the patience for programs. You know what I did? I took the one-step program. Not the 12, the one. The one-step program goes like this. You step down into the presence of the King. And you'll never be the same. That's what happened to me. I didn't even realize what I was getting in on. I should have done it much sooner. Amen, Brother Sin? We should have got in on this sooner, but better late than never. I have a lot of regrets in my life that I can't do anything about. But I have never, ever, ever, not one time in 35 and a half years have I regretted getting my sins forgiven. Have I regretted giving my sin and my life to Jesus Christ? I've never regretted. I've been in church. I've seen Christians be Christians and things go on that I didn't expect. But never once have I regretted becoming a child of God. Amen. How about you tonight? Are you saved? If not, I mean, I don't know everybody in here. If you're not, you need to get saved. Your sin's going to put you in a devil's hell. Amen. The only unpardonable sin is never asking Jesus to forgive you the sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. I don't have to go through the Ten Commandments. I don't have to convince you. I don't have to sit down and ask you about if you're a sinner by nature, because we all are. And Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That's the best news you're ever going to get. Bible says Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. Say, I don't believe you. I don't blame you. Believe this. That's God's book. Amen? If you're in here tonight and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, well, I'm pretty sure that's why God's got you here tonight. He definitely wanted to hear you that you need to. But this could be your day. We'd love to open a Bible. Take a minute. I could give an invitation and ask people to come forward. Christians don't even come forward anymore. Why would we expect lost people to?
But before you leave this building, if you're not saved, if you're not sure where you would spend eternity, or you're pretty sure you wouldn't get into heaven if you got to trust Christ, as soon as this thing's over, last amen, there's people all over this room. Myself, I'll be, come up and ask me. I'll open a Bible. I won't give you my opinion. I'll open the Bible and tell you what Jesus Christ did to make a way for your sins to be forgiven so you don't never sit in a church service again. And when the preacher says, are you saved? You wonder, oh, am I? The Bible says you can know. He wants you to know. Now, this isn't a religious thing. I don't care what the other people say. That book says you can know you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13, I'll take you right to it. I'm not a salesman. I'm a fireman. I like to keep you out of the fire. Like somebody did me. Like somebody did everybody in here that's saved. Amen. Achan, we saw from the verses. He confessed finally because he was busted. And he asked for forgiveness, but he didn't get it. I asked for forgiveness. I got it. You can ask for forgiveness tonight. And you can get it. You can get your sins washed away. I hope you do it. If that's what you need to do. For you saved folks, here's what's going on in churches. Church this size, battle with the flesh. Sometimes we get derailed. We can be doing pretty good and we get off track. Sin wins sometimes, and it does. Amen? You know, you can make a U-turn if you're heading down the wrong track. You can turn around. This would be a great night. This would be a great place for a U-turn. You know what I'm talking about. You don't have the joy and peace you once had because, you know, there's some sins got in there. Well, let's get it under the blood. Amen. Yeah. This ain't magical. This ain't spooky. This is just about being honest with yourself. You know how you get saved? You be honest with yourself. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you finally get to the place, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you know what that is? That's saying, God, I'm a sinner. And if hell's real, I deserve to go there. And hell is real, and you do deserve to go there. We all do. Amen. Sin is so serious that the God that spoke creation into existence, Genesis 1, did not speak sin out of existence. You ever think about that? God so loved the world. That's God's blood, Acts 20:28, that was shed on the cross to make a way for your sins to be forgiven. This is serious stuff. But this stuff can be addressed. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. We got missionaries all over the world in foreign lands. People have never heard the gospel. And God's got people going there to let them know. But that ain't the case in America. In America, there's specials at Easter time and move. And it's all right here. And head knowledge ain't getting nobody into heaven. Because the devils have head knowledge of God. And they'll throw verses around too. Matthew chapter 4. Amen. Shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. I did that one day. You? Amen. Are you saved? Amen. Anybody in here regret it? No. Say, I'm having a bad day. Well, it's your fault, not God's. Yeah. But you can get God back on the throne. That flesh doesn't want to get right. That flesh doesn't want to pray. That flesh don't want to admit it's wrong. That flesh is wicked. And when you get done fighting that thing and get that thing, say, Lord, he'll say, I've been waiting for this. Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. And fear and trust in the Lord. Might be that night for somebody. God's waiting. God inclined. He's waiting to hear from you. Why don't you let him hear from you? Let's all stand. Saved or lost tonight, the message is clear. Say, well, that's kind of silly. Well, maybe so. Maybe not.
But I'll tell you, this is true. Aiken knows it. Dave Spurgeon knows it, and I ain't the only one. One thing leads to another. Let's deal with the past tonight. Don't let it dominate your life. Paul said, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto that which is before. Amen. Leave the past in the past and reach forth unto that which is before. And get back in a good fight. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Whatever the need, let's do business with God for a minute on a Monday night. Amen? Let God meet the need. Thank God. If you're doing good, thank God. If you're not, ask God to help you. If you're not saved, I'll be right over there. And I'd love to talk to you. Take as much time as it takes.